Welcome back to another episode of the Shanti Ma Podcast. This is episode 25. Today, I sit down with the conscious power couple, Nikki Van Houten and Theo Cummings. Together, we explore how to shift your mindset to improve mental health, beliefs about yourself and the world, how to use gratitude to manifest abundance into your life, and how to accept yourself while at the same time giving an honest audit of where you're at and where you could improve. Together, these two share a well-rounded perspective on it all, and I can't wait to share it with you. Theo Cummings went from an introverted and depressed musician to anxious and addicted leader in the music industry to founding a rapidly growing 6.5-figure global conscious success coaching business, Charisma Coaches. He is also a certified hypnotherapist, rapid transformational hypnotherapist, and NLP. His work has been recognized by thought leaders such as Marissa Peer, Gerard Adams, and top leaders who have worked at major corporations like PricewaterhouseCoopers and Verizon Wireless. Theo helps high-performing coaches hit 20 to 50K months within 1 to 3 months without fear and overwhelm by leveraging charisma mastery, subconscious reprogramming mastery, and human design mastery. Nikki Van Houten is a transformational coach, impact-driven entrepreneur, and super connector. She gives people the tools to heal themselves and reprogram their subconscious mind to manifest their deepest desires and dreams. Nikki has teamed up with Ashley Hahn to create a global movement of empowered women who are fully expressed and on fire in every area of their life. She is relentlessly committed and devoted to self-mastery, changing the world, and helping other leaders do the same. Nikki inspires and empowers others to be the change they wish to see in the world. And before we jump into today's episode, I kindly ask you to support the show by subscribing and leaving a review on Apple. You can also head over to YouTube and subscribe there if you prefer to put faces to the names and witness the weird things I do with my mouth when I'm listening. And again, I would like to genuinely thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning in to another episode of the Shanti Ma Podcast. And without further ado, please give a warm welcome to the powerful Nikki Van Houten and Theo Cummings. Two, one, Theo, Nikki, welcome to my podcast.
Hey.
I'm so excited to be here.
That's good.
Yeah. So happy to have you guys on. We were just kind of discussing where we're going to go with this podcast today. And what we're thinking is we're going to get into mindset and some of the ways to overcome some negative mindset. And these guys are experts on that. It's what you guys do. So how about before I get into any of my assumptions about what you do, what do you guys do? How did you get here? And we'll go from there.
After you.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Sure.
Be my guest.
So I come from a background of learning how to be a musician and production. And for me, I was really just in that world of music. And so I shifted into mental health. And then I shifted into spiritual business coaching, helping entrepreneurs with really scaling their personal brands, their story, their impact without overwhelm, without fear. So doing it through social media has been such a passion for me because I really love to teach communication. At the core of all business is mastering the ways that we can be our true selves and also learn the right skills to communicate the most effectively based on who you're looking to serve. So that's me.
Yeah, because actually having good people skills, like you can have great ideas, and if you don't have good people skills or have awkward social skills, you're not gonna go too far. And what about you, Nikki?
Yeah, I just wanted to build off of that. Like everyone always talks about IQ. And it's really about EQ, emotional intelligence, you know, emotional intelligence. And my name is Nikki Van Houten, and originally I'm from Connecticut, small town in Connecticut. And I went to college actually to be an elementary school teacher. So I used to teach second grade. And I love children so much. And it's a part of my vision is to integrate all of this work with children. And after college, I moved to Thailand. I taught English there for a year. And towards the end of my trip, I actually, I was going to go move to Georgia, Atlanta to teach elementary school. Right before I had left, I got into a motorbike accident, and it was a near death experience. And Whoa. It kind of really shifted. Like, it really was a wake up call for me to really like, wow, we never know when our time is up, and to really like live every day like it's our last day here, every day to the fullest. And one of my buddies from college reached out to me a week after the motorbike accident. And he asked if I wanted to sell solar panels and be in the clean, renewable energy space. And I'm very passionate about the planet and the environment. So I was like, okay, tell me more. And he said it was door-to-door sales. And for me, that I hung up. I thought he was like punking me. I was like, no fucking way. And I hung up the phone, and that night I couldn't sleep. And, you know, I said to myself, like, if I can do this, I know that I can do anything. And for me, it was the most out of my comfort zone thing to do, is to do door-to-door sales. And so I did it. I moved to California across the US, where I'm originally from. And I worked for a startup company doing door-to-door sales. And I was in the solar industry. I brought in almost $5 million in sales revenue in the solar industry. I created my own brokerage firm, and I got into lead gen and marketing. And
wow.
And yeah, during that time, for me, COVID was a blessing in disguise, because I was really forced collectively to face our darkness and our shadows. And it was really a time for me to take inventory. Like, is this really what I want to do? Like, is this really aligned with my soul's purpose? And do I want to spend my life doing this? And I said, no. Like, I actually tuned into my heart, and like my soul was saying no. And so I said, why don't I use my skills with communication and connecting and sales and actually support conscious leaders and coaches? So I started working with Ashley Hanawacker. She's an author, a speaker, a coach, and a conscious heart-led leader. And together we formed we created a global movement called Female on Fire, really igniting women to tap in to their divine feminine and also their divine masculine, and really to be on fire in every area of their life. And also myself becoming a coach. So Theo and I have launched a group coaching program and a mastermind, and I work with clients one-on-one too, really helping them to giving them the tools, you know, giving them the tools to heal themselves and to reprogram their subconscious mind to really serve them and serve their dreams and their desires and their highest. So that's a little bit about me.
Wow. So I have two questions that came up. First of all, I want to ask where your paths crossed, and then I want to come back to your near-death experience for a moment, if that's okay.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Yeah. So how did you guys end up getting connected then?
Would you like to do the honors?
You got it.
Oh, pressure is on, Theo.
So I actually had switched my name on Instagram, like right above your bio, you can like change your name. So when people search you, yeah. And I had this idea, I was coaching clients on like business and branding, and I changed my name to Conscious Business. And one of Theo's virtual assistants reached out to me and scheduled a sales meet, like a meeting with me and Theo. And we were going back and forth in the DMs, like always going down in the DMs and just going back and forth. And the first call we had was a sales call, and Theo was really evoking my dreams and my desires. And he then pitched me on his coaching program, and it ended up being a three-hour conversation. And by the end of it, I actually had pitched him on me working for him. So doing sales for his organization. And he was like, how did this happen? Right. You're just like, how did this happen? And
yes.
And then by
you guys pitched each other and it was perfect.
Pitch perfect.
Yeah. And then the second call we had was him like training me on his offers and his programs. And it again, once again, was like 3 hours long. So we knew something was there. And then finally came the time to meet in person, was in Tulum. Theo was only supposed to be there for 2 weeks. He ended up there for like 2.5 months. That's what Tulum does to you.
I have a friend that just happened to.
Yeah.
It happens.
It can be a black hole. Beautiful, beautiful black hole. So it was actually for a conscious leader retreat by Gerard Adams. Theo is actually a coach in his different containers, and he's hired Gerard as a mentor as well and a coach. And so it was the last day of the retreat, and I had got invited to attend the last day. And it was coming. They had a private concert in a cenote in like an underground cave. And who was the performance by? The musicians?
Medulla.
It was these musicians who are absolutely amazing. They don't practice. They just read the room, the vibe of the room, and they just
jam
out. Yeah. And it was just so beautiful. Ashley Hand, Gerard's fiance, texted me the location, and she said, Nikki, there's no cell service here. I was on my way to go meet everyone, and I was excited to meet Theo too in person. And she said, there's no service. Here's the pin. You may get lost. And I was like, fuck it. Like, there was not a doubt in my mind. I was like, I'm going. So I got on my motorbike, looked for this location where the retreat was being held, looked for this pin for 2.5 hours, couldn't find it. Two to 2.5 hours, couldn't find it, started crying. And I headed back towards like the entrance of the road. And before I left the entrance, I just stopped and I prayed. And I prayed, I said, God, please just give me a sign. I know that I'm going to meet people that are really going to change my life at this event. And I really want to be there. Please give me a sign before I give up. Please help me. I kid you not. 1 minute, like 30 seconds, 1 minute later, a guy in a red pickup truck stops next to me. I'm crying. He says, are you okay? And I said, I've been looking for my friends at this retreat for over 2 hours. I can't find them. And he says, is it Gerard Adams' retreat? And my mouth dropped. He said, that's my property. He said, it's not my property. So I dropped my bike. He said, get in the car, like, I'll give you a ride. So I dropped my bike off, got in the car, and he brought me to the retreat. And that's where I met Theo in person.
Wow. And how fast was your prayer? Like 2 minutes, 30 seconds, 5 minutes?
30 seconds to a minute. Like the prayer itself was like 20, 30 seconds. And then after that, 30 seconds to a minute, the guy in the red pickup truck stopped.
Wow. That's so crazy. Wow. Yeah. And that's then where you guys met and crossed paths for the first time in person. That's amazing.
That's the amazing story we practiced telling.
Well, that's why I said the pressure is on, because she's like, oh, do you want to tell it? And it's so funny when that could actually be like a really funny show where you like get couples together, you're like, how did you meet? And then you separate them and hear each version of the story.
Like seeing the difference.
I met my partner in grade 2, and I love to tell the story of how he had a crush on me and I hated him. But we joke about that a lot, but we haven't been together since grade 2, but that's where it all began. And we were mortal enemies. So now, something that I really want to get into is, like, I think over the past, you know, you mentioned COVID. Over the past like 18 months or so, a lot of people have really struggled with mindset. And I think a lot of people have had that moment of, oh my gosh, like similar to, not the same, but similar in the way that like a near-death experience would rock you and say, whoa, 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 nothing is certain. I seem to have this concept that I have control, but we really don't. And I think a lot of people realize that job security, illusion, you know, freedom, illusion, just kidding. All these different things that you think are certain have then become uncertain. And I think so many people have bought into the fear and into the, also a lot of the brainwashing that's really being hammered home right now. What is your thought on that for people, and to guide people in a direction that would take them towards following their path and at least figuring out or questioning, like, what is my path? Because it's definitely more than just the rat race and the wheel and, you know, being a part of the machine.
Well, from my experience, I've had so many iterations of these truths that we face in life. We learn these lessons and we're like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. I didn't know that. I didn't even know that I had this resistance, this invisible force that was holding me back. But now I know, and now I can do better, right? And so the biggest thing for change to take place, at least from what I understand, is acceptance. We get really excited about the fact that you can change your life, you can change your brain. Neuroplasticity is so real. And yet we can get caught up with a lot of this overwhelm of always changing and changing and changing and changing. And it can become this cycle of the next thing. There's always going to be someone making more money than you. There's always going to be someone who's looking better than you. And I realized that was a pattern in my own life too. Mm-hmm. And so acceptance was the first step to me really enjoying the journey. Really saying, hey, you know what? This is where I am. I'm taking an honest audit of where I am now. And even though I'm tempted to compare myself to other people's experiences, that I realized it was very violent against my own sovereign journey through this mm-hmm. lifetime. And so after the first step is acceptance, it's almost like you can jump off of solid ground and you don't have to feel like there's this endless path of, oh, I don't feel like I'm enough until I get to the next level. So after that, I understood that there were really three brains. We know that we have the brain, which is the brain. We have the heart brain, and then we have the gut brain, or I like to call it like the soul brain. So just knowing that there's definitely a reason why everyone came here to fulfill a purpose, so to speak. And then there's also a heart brain where you're affiliating like your emotions into getting in touch with an intuition, right? That feminine energy of, oh, there's gotta be this next ascension, and you can get excited about it. There's nothing wrong with having desires to achieve in this lifetime. And then there's this mental aspect where, like many people would want to know more about, which is the mindset of, okay, so how do I pull this into my reality? How do I use and leverage my mind so that I can align the emotions, the heart space, the gut knowing of why we're here? And so once we understand that the subconscious mind is all about, what's the reason why I want to achieve this for myself and for other people? What's the reason? And this is when we get into leadership. What's the reason? Sovereign servant leadership is about how can we become the best version of ourselves, the highest version of ourselves, so that we can serve, influence, impact, and create community around a much brighter future, not just for us, for the future generations, so that they can grow up in a world where they don't have to work as hard to overcome their parents' programming and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So in a very concise way, that's what I would say, is to just know that there's a reason why you're here, number one. Number two is to embody and feel like you could deserve and feel as if you're already there. And number three is the visualization. If you can align those, and this, a lot of this has to do with permission. Many of us see the external as the truth, and then we feel well because we say we want to be here, but we're there. And so tricking your nervous system into feeling like you got it, that's the secret. And when we talk about the law of attraction at the scientific level, it's many people mistake it from the law of attraction, and it actually has to do a lot with music. So if you play a guitar string, it resonates. It plays a note and the note holds. So the question I have for myself every day when I wake up is, how frequently can I consistently resonate at that frequency of that person who is moving, living, feeling, acting, talking, just feeling as that person, that highest version of myself? Does that make sense?
Definitely. Yeah. So what would be some of the ways that you would recommend for somebody who doesn't quite yet know what that feels like? How do you trick yourself into those feelings? Because, maybe people that are struggling with like a bit of hopelessness or a bit, you know, lost as to where to go. They know they want something more. What would be a good place to start a person like that, that's in that place?
And I think just to build off what Theo was just saying, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, they have the when then mindset, mm-hmm. where they believe when I have this, then I'll feel happy. You know, when I attract the partner of my dreams, then I'll feel complete. When I make my first million, then I'll feel successful. When I lose the weight, then I can buy new clothes or mm-hmm. change my style. And I feel like that's living from lack, and where you can just feel that now. Like you can feel that now. If you're living in lack, you're not living a fulfilled, joyful life. If you're constantly living in this lack where you're like, I don't have this, I don't have that, I'm not this, I'm not that. And for me, the greatest thing that's changed my life has been gratitude. Just every morning, I recommend the 5-minute journal. And if you don't purchase a journal, you could just put at the top, I put, you know, 10 things I'm grateful for, affirmations, and then goals for the day, or you know, what I'm looking to accomplish for the day. And just being in that place of gratitude, being in this place of, you know, I have everything I need, I love who I am, and also affirming that, but just being really grateful for the little things too. Like, I'm grateful for my cup of coffee, I'm grateful for my mom, I'm grateful for nice Uber drivers that talk to me, that have conversation. I'm grateful for my amazing partner, Theo. I'm grateful for the woman that I am today. So that, for me, gratitude has been a huge practice that has helped.
To help shift you into that and out of maybe the, yeah, because sometimes it is taking stock of what is good in your life. And I guess I'm just thinking of like maybe some people who are really, you know, I would say like people who are like really struggling with, perhaps they, you know, lost their job during this time, and they're really actually scarcity mindset is because like, they don't know where their food is coming from or if their rent is going to get paid. Gratitude, do you feel would be like a good place to start somebody that's in that position to start shifting and getting into that frequency, believing that the money or the food or the things will come, and just like really tapping into your prayers?
Yeah, I believe that if everyone can be grateful for something, like when I was living in Thailand, I went to third world country, like Laos and Cambodia, and I swear to freaking God, like those people were happier than a lot of people I know. I think that we take so much for granted, especially here in America. And I think that when people say, you know, I feel so much empathy and sympathy for people during this time, during COVID. And I'm also standing for their highest. If someone is playing the victim and saying, like they're when you play victim, you give your power away. You give
100%.
Your power away to everything externally. Mm-hmm. And in order to really transform and change and shift and pivot and move forward, it requires someone to be strong and to be resilient and to find gratitude in the little things, in their cup of coffee, or maybe even just getting out of bed in the morning, you know, just like being alive. So I believe that everyone, no matter what you're going through, you can find you can be grateful for something in your life. And just finding that something is the first step towards transformation.
Mm, that's well said. Theo, you look like you have something to say.
Yes. So there's a framework that I learned through just going through so much fear, anxiety, depression, wanting to end it all in the music industry, just in this egoic, dark industry of I need to be the best and I need to chase money. I need to chase success to feel worthy of love. And I remember just buying bottles and buying parties and buying friends, to be honest. And it was a really endless loop of just constant what's next, what's next, what's next, shiny ball syndrome. And it was me not seeing that the external was actually just, it was reflecting what was going on inside of me. And so once I understood that, I really did learn about the programming that all of us are, most of us are programmed with. And I just want to say, I want to give John Assaraf credit for this, but he said, if you had an abnormal family, or rather if you had a functional family, you are very abnormal. So we all grow up in these interesting tribes, these families where as kids, we unconsciously choose this dynamic, this role to play. And what we forget, or what we're not even realizing unknowingly, is that we go out in as adults and we carry that identity, that fractured identity of perceptions of how we see ourselves in the world. For instance, I was the rebel. So what did that mean? Well, every movie that I watched, I always resonated with like, yeah.
With double horns.
Screw the police. I'm just going to do everything to create a ruckus.
My inner rebel's like, I see you.
Yeah, I see you. Yeah. My older sister, she was the achiever. So she's the overachiever. And she read the Harry Potter books in 1 week. And then my little sister, she's the princess. And she's like, yeah, la-di-da, right? So it's not to demonize these egoic archetypes. It's just to know that this is the story that we were born into. Mm-hmm. And once I understood that, I was like, oh, wow, this is fascinating. I have created situations in my life where my parents had to bail me out. I had to be saved. And again, going back to what Nikki said, it was like the victim paradigm of reverting back to, oh, I knew it. Your ego's like, I knew it. I told you so. You were the victim. Here's more proof, right? Mm-hmm. And so really just having the awareness, right? That's the first step of just like, having the awareness, taking an audit with your life, instead of avoiding, instead of running away, instead of suppressing, instead of addicting, instead of getting distracted.
And that's what a majority of people did during COVID.
Yes, they had two options. They could go within and create their future with what they love, or they could continue to suppress and avoid and addict.
Because right now in the US, suicide is the 10th leading cause of death, and also there's close to 100,000 deaths from overdoses. So that just shows you that people are having a really hard time just like sitting with their darkness and really like facing their shadows. Mm.
And in gratitude is that instant shift out of that victimhood where you get to see a light at the tunnel. And that light of the tunnel for me was like almost jumping off a building, or almost like swimming out to the ocean until I couldn't swim anymore. I'm laughing now because it's so ridiculous. However, in the moment, it was so real, right? And then that's when I understood in hindsight, that's what the trauma energy is. It's this parasite, and it's this mind of its own. And it wants to just prove to you, your soul, that it was right. That I was never loved, that I was never enough. And that's just a story, right? And so the first step is that gratitude. But what I think comes before that is really taking, how do I say it? It's really just creating something where you become the observer again, right? Like back to the awareness, it's like, okay, let me just observe this from a bird's eye view so that I can just at least see what's happening. And then I can actually gain some acceptance instead of judgment. A lot of we are meaning making machines, right? So we're just judging, comparing. And when we get into that acceptance, that's super powerful, because then from that point, that last step is really taking ownership. And what I mean by that is when you see that there's a veil in front of you, and beyond that veil lies all of your wildest dreams, all of the wealth, all of the deep loving connection, all of the vitality.
Yes. Yes. Tell me more.
It's a veil, right? It's a veil. And what is that veil? Well, what it is simply just your beliefs. And what the word, Jim Quick says, the word in the middle of belief is L-I-E, lie. It's a lie, right? So if there's no lesson inside of it, it's a lie. And so when you see that, okay, the belief, you can break it down even more. What's a belief? Because many people say, oh, this is my belief. It's like, but what is that actually, right? So and can we all agree that energy, I think we can all agree that everything is energy, right? Everything in the world is energy, money, everything that is matter is energy, and in language, words have energy as well, right? And so a belief is simply just a pattern of words. Once we can understand that at the logical level, then we can start to shift into a languaging, right? A pattern of words that will serve us. And this is where, you know, this is why people believe in affirmations so much. Unfortunately, not unfortunately, but on that level of their journey, they start to realize that affirmations isn't really getting to the root. So to remove the root, you go deep into the unconscious patterns of the different script of dialogue, of patterning, of languaging, of words that's happening below your conscious awareness. So we have like affirmations, self-dialogue, that's mindset, right? How we talk to ourselves, that is literally what mindset is. And then below that is the emotional dialogue. Oh, like this is what I'm making it mean about me. That's what trauma is. The trauma is not what happened. It's your interpretation of what happened about what you made that a mean about you. And it always comes down to two things, lovability and not enough, right? So we understand this is the languaging, right? This is the languaging that we can change. And then once you change the languaging, that's beautiful. However, what is so important for people to really shift out of this is what I just said earlier, is the ownership aspect. So Nikki and I both have, we talk to people, we enroll people into various programs, and there's so many conversations that we have. It's just, now it's innate in us. It's almost like we have this unconscious competence to listen to someone's heart hear
it's also
what
evoking.
They want, for sure. And before we can evoke, what we can do, what we get to do as well, is to support them with taking ownership of the blocks, of the fears. And then it's important for us to teach people how to tell a story so that someone else can look inside of that story and they can say, oh, so that was that person's shift in thinking, right? If thoughts are things, that's what the person's shift in thinking is. So we say, congratulations, you are so appreciated. It's amazing that you're vulnerable and honest with where you are, right? You're taking ownership of that. And in addition to this, now in this moment in time, you have an opportunity to shift your languaging into what is possible, evoking your vision and not reverting back to the old limited story, because we know that the manifest, you're attracting also things that you may not want too, right? By speaking it with your voice. So we say, we're just training people. We're supporting people with being sure that they're aware that every time they say, yeah, I could do this, this would be awesome, right? This would be dope. But, and then that negates their vision first when they say, but, and now here's the story that I want to continuously, like, it's almost like an addiction. It's like, oh, but this is all the other restrictions and fears and limitations. It's like, we're supporting them with getting them into a momentum, like a frequency momentum, where they're shifting out of the story and into the energy and into the creation, the possibility, the anything is possible, right? And then that's when they can elevate their nervous system to a point where they're like, you know what? F it. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to take commitment to this. I'm going to be all in on this. Now is the time to change, to decide. And then that's when real transformation can start to take place. If they want to believe it's not working, if they want to be skeptical, it doesn't work, then that's still what they're going to get. And it's important for us leaders to be, to cultivate the ability to show people the paths that they can go down.
And to hold them in
how they act.
To hold them in their highest, because you're either being enrolled or you're enrolling. You're either being enrolled into someone's excuses and their fears and their beliefs, or you're enrolling them to be in their highest. And the same goes for personally, like you're either enrolling yourself to go after your desires and your dreams and to, you know, acknowledge your fears and put them aside, or you're being enrolled into your fears and your, and the beliefs that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's as a conscious leader and as a heart-led, impact-driven entrepreneur, I really do feel like in this new era, it's so important to really stand for, to not just when someone gives excuses into why they aren't going after their dreams and desires, but actually like standing for their dreams and desires, and also asking people about their dreams and desires, not just people you're coaching, but we just started recently asking the barista, or like people on the sidewalk or people we just meet, like asking them more about like, what do you want? Like, what are your dreams? Like, what's your vision? Because most people have never been asked that in their life. We've been learning and really like standing for them to go after that because of this urgency that we do only get one life, you know, at least in this meat suit. And that life, that the urgency life is now, that's the urgency is what will really, when those fears and beliefs come up, you'll be like, oh, what the fuck, do whatever it takes. Like, and just kind of like push that fear and that belief aside.
Yes. Yes. It does come from it does truly come from a space of self-love. If we love ourselves so deeply, we want to share this emotion with people. And then people start to learn that they create the success, and then it's fleeting, isn't it? Right? They care more about who they've become. They care more about how they feel right now in this moment in time. And I'm like, yo, like, I just want to give you this energy. Like, if I could just like take it out of my body and just give it to you. Right? So it's as kids, we get raised to be ashamed of our desires. So on one hand, it is about acknowledging your fears and your insecurities. And it's also about standing behind, like emotionally behind, like, what is that thing that you always dreamt of achieving? And it may be something your parents don't like, right? It may be something that society is like, oh, what is that? That's silly. That's so weird. That's so against the grain. And ironically, it's those people, like think about people like Tupac Shakur, or people like Notorious B.I.G., or think about people like Prince, like Mick Jagger, like these weirdos were just being themselves. And I believe, at least this is part of a big part of our mission as conscious leaders, is to really share with people is that they can just be themselves and see that is what that makes them valuable, instead of their money, instead of their house. And letting go of attachment to like thinking that because you own something, you quote unquote own something, that it gives you value, where the reality is that you don't really own anything, right? One of my other mentors, Kyle Cease, he talks about the illusion of money and how we're hypnotized to place our value on what we quote unquote own. And he says, when you're gone, someone else's money is going to go in your bank account. When you're gone, someone else is going to be living in your house. So really, in reality, we're actually just borrowing all of this stuff. And so that's ultimate non-attachment. And that's the ultimate vision for every day I wake up and I say, oh my gosh, like, holy smokes. Like, how can I become the type of person where if I lost everything today, I could literally snap my fingers and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to have to change it. I can totally like pull that from within me. Like, for instance, Tina Turner, if she lost all the money in her bank account, she'd just be like, oh, everybody, we're going back on tour. We're going on tour for 3 months and we're going to go make it all back. Don't you worry. Right. And then boom, right. She makes it all back because she knows she's the vessel. She's creating it.
That's also COVID showed. That's what happened with COVID. You know, you had some people who lost their jobs and became homeless or really went down a dark path. And then you have people who lost their jobs and are now like very successful and started companies, you know? So it's really about like how can you look at obstacles and breakdowns and darkness as actually an opportunity to grow and elevate and really like, how do you view everything that shitty that happens in your life and be able to find the gift in it? To find the gift and to take a positive learning lesson from it. That's when you're really winning. When you're really winning, and that's for me has been so freeing for me to be able to go through, because we both experience breakdowns all the time, you know, and it's just the breakdowns don't go away. You know, life doesn't get easier. It's just we get stronger and more resilient. And if you're able to look at it from a different lens of a lifelong learner, and from a growth mindset.
Yeah, so much of what you guys were saying there is just gold, because I know, you know, even in my own life, I kind of before COVID had hit, I had a car accident, and I went from, you know, making money and having this body, this life, like, you know, feeling like I was on top of the world. All of a sudden, it was like, my life was upside down and I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, now I'm struggling, you know, to find rent. I'm struggling for, you know, like I can't afford the healthy foods that make me feel good. Now I'm eating stuff that's making me feel sick because I, you know, just like I went into a very, very dark place. And the gratitude actually really, like when my partner and I, we were struggling, we had nothing. We had, we basically just had our mindset to dig ourselves out of that. And I actually remember this one day, because it's interesting when you first start on that journey, how the critical mind will be like, it doesn't work. Everything sucks. You're doomed. And then you're like, you know, like that parasite, you're like, get out of here. Like, and you keep believing, even though you're like, I don't know. And I remember we had this one day where we were like, let's practice attracting pre-workout, because we both wanted to go. We were on our way to the gym and we were like, okay, oh, we don't have any caffeine. We really want pre-workout. We're like, we're going to get pre-workout. We're going to get pre-workout. It was something so small and so silly. And when we got to the gym in the bathroom, there was two containers of pre-workout. One was his favorite and one was mine. And we were like, it worked. Oh my God. But we kept having these like little small victories of like, you know, you have these moments where you're like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know, you know, how we're going to get out of this. And you're just like, okay, no, like, it's almost like you have to realize that these weeds keep coming. You have to keep pulling them out and being like, I'm not going to let that in. Like, I understand that the fear is relevant, but I'm not going to let it take me over, because I'm not joking. While we were kind of figuring this out and kind of learning the lesson of mindset, there was a few times where we allowed the, you know, we'd kind of like get all stressed, and then, you know, you kind of get at each other because your survival is being threatened, and we'd kind of, you know, get a little bit like tense. And then all of a sudden, you know, things are bouncing and problems are happening. And then we were like, okay, this happens every single time we have a hiccup with our mindset. And as soon as we'd go back to being grateful, back to being positive, and just back to, you know, knowing that things are going to be taken care of, that's when we would kind of start flowing again, until the point of where now, you know, 4 years or whatever later, we're both like in a really great position, and we can look back and be like, holy smokes, like that was so dark. We went through so much, but yeah. Our belief, encouraging one another, helping one another when one person is struggling, to like stay positive and believe that, you know, you can overcome it. And also having that struggle also makes you go, I don't want this life. I want something more. And I want something that's like deeply meaningful. And I want to be able to help other people. And I want to inspire other people, because a paycheck, that means nothing. Like, what really, like what you do with that energy, if that money is energy, that's what really and truly drives you long term, rather than just the, like you were kind of mentioning, trying to keep up with the Joneses. And like, you know, my car has rust on the side of it, by the way, and I sometimes like to pretend it's a Tesla. I'm just like, yes, my Tesla. It's like, it's like a rust on the side of it. Love it. The heat stops working sometimes. But I feel rich. I feel rich.
You have a name for your car?
No, I mean, I guess like sometimes I call it the Tesla, but, you know, it's really funny because I actually really wanted a Tesla until I started seeing everyone driving it. I was like, oh, whatever. That's not like, it's so funny how we do that. I'm like, I wanted one when they were still very expensive. And now that it's like very, like the modern, you know, householder can have one, I'm like, meh.
Yeah, it's like when people talk about Burning Man, they're like, it, but it's not like the OG Burning Man.
Like back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
It's so funny how we create exclusivity, hey? Yeah. It like creates value.
It does. It really does. It's like deep in our DNA to like want to be focused.
We just all want to be kings and queens. Okay, so I wanted to ask you then, like, let's talk about creating a wealthy mindset. Like what, I know we've kind of talked a lot about taking personal responsibility, accountability, like looking and seeing what's going on inside there, because we can't just use affirmations and positive thinking to bypass our, you know, maybe addictions or habits that are starting or that are continuing to create more, you know, like ripple effect of like negativity in our life. But like, you know, for somebody who wants to create a wealthy mindset, which is different than being like, I want to use the law of attraction to become rich. It's more like, I want to feel wealthy. Like I want to drive my rust bucket and be like, yeah, I'm in a Benz or like a Tesla or something.
I'm talking about.
Yeah. What do you guys think about that? What would you advise somebody that's listening to this?
I love this topic.
Yeah.
So you can it's start fun. Jamming off of it.
It's fun. It's almost like, you know, my mentor, Marissa Pierce, she has this like 9-year-old daughter and she's like, sweetie, what do you want for Christmas? And she's like, I want a pony. I want a swimming pool. I want a castle and I want all these cars. Like, is that cool, mom? And she's like, oh, wow. We're like, amazing. Can we maybe pick one? Because the kid is, she's so abundant and we live in that frequency, in that heart space. We're in recess and we're just flowing and we're in our intuition. And then school says, wait, hold on a second. Let's focus on your IQ. Let's make you the B student, the C student. And it's really just about like changing your own archetype into a new archetype where there's this certain archetype that's helped you to survive until now. It's helped you to get to where you want to go. And it's just accepting that there's a new way of being that can totally happen before anything in your environment changes. Like who says that you have to prove your value in the world, the physical world, before you can give yourself permission to feel it? And so it just goes back to value creation. And there's most of the Buddhists, like the Eastern philosophy, they talk a lot about, okay, so the ascended master, whatever, he's so good at creating value in the world. And so if we're in a reality where this matrix says that, oh, if like you don't have this much money, then you're a piece of crap, or you're not worthy, or you're not enough, whatever. So it, for me, honestly, it comes from letting go of attaching my worth to results. Why is that important? Because the ego needs measurable results to feel like you're lovable and worthy of being enough. And so once you understand that, it's all about seeing that you have certain expenses in your life. You have your rent expenses most likely one of the most expensive expenses in your life. And so that's the reason why you pay the most attention to it, that bill, right? And so if you were to see that there's so much more abundance in your life, then that's the thing that I didn't realize, is that I was giving money all the abundance identity. And so if I didn't have the money, I didn't have abundance. And so I was always in lack, always in lack. And so I had to let go of that belief, because money was holding the power in my life. It was holding the power of like me feeling good. If I had a bad month in business, I'd be like, ah, man, I'm a piece of crap. Like, I don't feel good about myself. And so realizing that there's more to that, there's air that's circulating, that's abundance energy. There's nature around you. You can place abundant value on that. The more you breathe deeply, what happens is your nervous system feels safer. So who says that's not super abundant? There's plenty of successful millionaires that I've worked with as clients, and they've literally had this like volatility in their income, because internally they don't feel safe. They're still living in scarcity. They're still worrying about spending $10 on toilet paper at the grocery store. And it's really sad, because this is the society that we have the opportunity to change out of that mindset. And there's a lot. So just to get to the point, because I know your audience is just like chomping at the bit. They probably just want to give me the answer, right? Give me the answer. So
the suspense is good. I'm enjoying it.
So it's just understanding that we can become our own parents. Like, I want everyone to let that land for a second. And everyone's ego is going to be like, wait, but hold on a second. My parents are my parents. Yes, I'm not negating that your parents are your parents. They love you, right? I'm also saying that you can pretend to, if you want a certain outcome, you may be willing to do this exercise where you pretend as if you're your grounded, loving father who's supportive, who's like giving you that encouragement. And then there's that loving, unconditional, loving, soft, embracing mother who's like, I'll love you no matter what. And so having those two energies, right, the masculine and feminine energy, in like giving that to yourself, to your inner child, that's that first step to seeing that internally in the quantum model, everything's a frequency. And so if we have our own little internal family, then we can say, hey, we're the family of abundance. Let's just say that. This is, by the way, this is not something that I teach, but this may be a good
We're the abundances. Nice to meet you.
Idea from like a branded like tool, I guess. We're the abundance family. Hey, guess what? You all are too. Right? Like, we're all the shit. You're the shit. Wow, isn't that great? So we're gonna say, hey, everybody. You know what? This is gonna be an executive decision from the inner child that just wants to play, to the father who wants to create structure, and for the mother who just wants to love the whole freaking process. And so we're going to say, hey, you know what? We're going to raise this standard of what we're going to like really put up with. We're going to raise this standard of how much we're going to have on savings, how much we're going to have in our checking account, how many clients we're going to have per month.
Raise your tolerance. Right.
Yeah, raise that bar, okay? And that bar is more emotional than it is mental. And what I mean by that is there's going to be a certain energy behind every single moment that you breathe. Like, take that in for a second. Every breath is what? A new opportunity for you to recommit to the vision, to the standard of quality of your life. And what does that create? It creates so much more enthusiasm, so much more self-compassion to say, hey, I messed up. So what? Who cares? Mm-hmm. And now I recommit to keep staying, being in integrity with my word, which is to say, this is my standard. And then you start to elevate to letting go of needing the external to dictate how you feel, and making your internal truth say, hey, wait, hold on a second. Internally, in my own internal world, I'm shifting my internal sense of self-worth, or am I shifting my internal self-value, my identity, right? My way of being, how I feel, how I talk, how I think, how I speak, right? And so once you're seeing yourself as that, then you feel that way, and then you're living from the vision of the person who has already achieved your current vision. So like, you're literally quantum leaping in terms of like a vibration, and then that's how you move through the world. It's a total different shift in paradigm, but people, they, it's required for people to let go of the concept of time. So important to let go of the concept of time, because that's the mental, where we're getting into more of like that emotional, like the frequency of like, oh, okay, so how would it feel if that was reality? Because there's a part of everyone listening who could look back on their life 5 years ago and see that, that, well, they're still the same person, generally speaking, right? Can we all agree on that? I think we can. It's just that their frequency is a little bit different. Maybe it's worse, maybe it's higher or lower, but generally speaking, like, they're still the same person. It's just that they elevated the frequency. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And when you raise your level, like your standard for the money that you, or the wealth you're creating, you are putting a signal out into the universe. So then you're able to receive more. So Regan Hillier, she's an amazing coach. She says, you know, if you're paying the monthly payments on all your bills and you're paying the minimum payments, that's you telling the universe that you're just, that your standard, your minimum is the minimum payment. So even if you pay $1 above the minimum payment, that puts a signal out that you are raising your minimum. You're raising the bar.
Yeah. I do that actually with tipping people. Like that, especially when you don't have, like, when you're like, oh, I don't know if I have, like, you know, an extra. It's like, no, that's when you should, because when you don't, that, I swear, it's like a boomerang, like this energetic boomerang. It comes back to you and like hits you so fast. Sometimes it will hit you in the forehead. Sometimes it'll hit you in the ass. This boomerang will get you. So like, I do, I've played around with that. And so I will often, if that like little voice comes up, it's like, hoard your money. It's like, no, tip more, give more.
Yes. Yes. And when you give, you receive more, you know? And yeah. I feel like for me, some, you know, this saying, cliches are cliches because they're true. And the saying is, how you do one thing is how you do everything. Sometimes when people say that, pisses me off. But when someone said that to me and I was in a bad financial position at the time, I was like, holy crap, like, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And they said, your bank account and your finances is just a reflection of anything going on internally, like wherever you're being blocked, like internally. And I was like, oh, wow. And then I really thought about it. And for me, I've always been really good at receiving. And I mean, I've always been really good at spending. Like, I've always just been a spender, 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 giver, giver, giver. And I became aware that, wow, that's how I show up. I'm a recovering people pleaser. And I've always been just like this giver, just giving, giving, giving. And that's what I did with my money as well. So really viewing it the same as you give and receive, like energetically with people and just with your love, that viewing it the same thing with money. Like when you give, it's also about receiving. Like when someone offers to give me money or pay for me for lunch, I used to be like, no, like, I got this, like, let's just split it. Now I'm like, okay, like, oh my God. And I will receive and I'll be like, thank you so much. I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate that. And not cutting, being very aware of not cutting off that cycle of give and receive, and just like remembering that it is just an energy cycle.
Yeah, I actually, as you were saying that, was thinking of like your abundance with energy that you give to people. So like looking at money from like a perspective of giving and receiving. Yeah, I've also felt very much like I've always had a much easier time giving than receiving. Like, and I do believe that that is a reflection of your worth. Like, I'm not worthy of receiving. I have to caretake and, you know, kind of, and I hear this is quite common for like a lot of women, I'm sure men, some men as well, but it's like, you know, we're supposed to caretake and give, and it's a lot harder to receive and to get past that. But I was thinking along the terms of like abundance and stuff as well, when it comes to your energy, and I'm curious as to your thoughts. And I was thinking in relationship to others and, you know, friendships or even intimate relationships, you know, when we get stingy with our energy, where like, it's easy when you first get into you know, like, let's use a relationship to give, be like, oh, like, I'm so in love. I want to, let me do that for you. Let me run you a bath. Let me make you dinner. And you're both in this place of priming the flow. And then all of a sudden trauma or triggers or patterns or complacency, and maybe a bit of just like, maybe, you know, you just kind of, you get so comfortable and used to that you're just like, nah, like, but you know, I feel like that often creates sort of like a disharmony, because you get stingy or neglectful of what you give in energy. And this can work in other relationships and friendships as well. And then you're like, oh, this person doesn't call me, or, oh, they never do this anymore, or I'm not getting that. You get very me, me, me. But it's like, how often do we take stock? And like you were saying, taking like an honest audit where you're like, well, have I become stingy with my energy? Why are people not abundant with their energy towards me? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it just goes back to our old wiring that doesn't really serve us anymore. And it's like almost, if you could imagine if you were in a tribe and then you left the tribe like a silly goose, and you're like, well, I'm just going to do my own thing. And then you die. You can't survive by yourself. And so the same thing goes on in different relationships that we're in, is when there's time that passes by between the touch points of the two people, there's sets this weird psychological like angst towards that person. It's almost like an assumption that like, they gotta be the one to reach out. They gotta be the one to rekindle the fire. Why should I have to do that? I'm always the one doing that. And so we can just understand that that's part of our programming, and it doesn't have to control us if we're aware of like, that's what creates that need for like this transactional, that transactional aspect of relationships. Like, I'll give you this if you give me that, and I'll give you this. This is because we're raised in a free market capitalism system, at least in Western society, and even in Eastern society too. It's like, that's what exchange is, right? So there's value to exchange. It's just that people take it too overboard, where they're like, literally, like you said, they're stingy, and they're like, oh, tit for tat, tit for tat. And then you start squabbling over like, well, I did this little thing, so now you get to do this other thing. It's like, like fighting for pennies, right? So it just has an overarching like, okay, let's just do our best. Let's be generous. Let's give to give without an agenda. Let's just be supportive and trusting that it will come back to us from maybe some other source, right? From other person. Yeah. And this requires us to, we must see that as spiritual souls having this multi-dimensional beings, we get to see that there is no hierarchy. Every human you meet is in some way, shape or form like a brother or a sister, because we're all human beings, like we're part of the human race. So once we see that, we start to trust what? We start to trust the universe again. We start to trust ourselves again. We start to get into abundance instead of scarcity. And you see this a lot in relationships that are very just like the two people together against the world, and they have no friends, they have no connection to their family, it's just them. And their charisma, their alpha goes down, and it happens over time. This is something called like a poison drip. So it's not like this huge event where it's like, oh my God, we have this unhealthy dynamic. Oh my God. It happens over time because they're not going out and expanding. There's no expansion. There's only contraction. So as long as you're aware of like, you get to be generous and you get to trust that the right things will fall into place. If you're just doing you, you're staying in your own lane. You're not trying to control anybody. You're just doing you. You're giving. You're also open to receiving. But generally speaking, you're looking at life like there's so many opportunities, and every moment is a new opportunity. And once you can kind of slow down, you slow down. And this is why meditation is such an important part of both Nikki and I's life, to really like recalibrate our nervous system so that, because every time you go out in the world, you are being exposed to pure chaos, pure distraction, pure marketing advertisement that says like, you're here and now you need to be there, and you can get there, but you got to buy this thing, right? So it's like getting away from the whole comparison game and getting into like, oh my God, like I'm connected to my heart. I'm connected to my soul. I'm connected to the universe. And then you can step out and be at the cause of your own emotional state. And this is what we call frame control. Whereas like frame control shows you that you don't have to have the $1 million in the bank. You don't have to have the ripped body to feel like you can be fully expressed, or you can be fully confident in any situation, or you could just speak your friggin' truth, or you could say no, or you can go call Bill Gates and not have a big deal, right? Like you could really just embody like that full highest version of yourself. And that's the secret, honestly, from my perspective, is like having that ability to control your own frame and not let the environment like come into you and be like, oh, wait, hold on, you're not quite there yet. So now I got to hold back my voice, or now I gotta like wait for the right timing, or, you know, I gotta save this money that I have, because I'm afraid that if I spend it, I'll lose it, right? It's like, no, it's like, get out, move, expand, move your body, start taking massive action. And then all the things begin to fall into place. It's living from a space of like, as if, like, if I wonder what it'd be like if I had everything I wanted. It's like moving from that space. It's almost like you're positioning yourself in that way. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, like I wanted to say as well, like when it comes to what I was mentioning with like giving, like that's, I just want to mention to anybody that's listening, I'm not saying either like you should continue giving to, you know, like, you know, in situations where there's people that are just, they take.
Energy vampires.
Yeah. And I want to kind of make that pretty clear, just because I think often when we get in, when you're a compassionate and giving person, you think that I need to just give endlessly. But when people are taking and it's becoming like a toxic situation, no. That cut that shit off. But I want to come back actually to what you guys are saying about tribe and creating these communities. How important do you feel that is for being able to really thrive in these healthy, wealthy states of mind?
Oh my God, it's everything. Everything to like specifically in my journey, I felt like I was also suicidal, like Theo, and I was really going through intense darkness. And during that time, I really isolated myself. I didn't have community. I didn't have anyone, and I really felt alone. And for me, just having community by your side, like having a safe space to be able to be your raw, authentic, true self, like, and not have it always have to be pretty, but like ugly and through the guilt and through the shame, and just like being able to be fully vulnerable with a group of people. And especially for me, just being surrounded by conscious leaders and just people that, not even leaders, well, I believe everyone's a leader, but just people that want to like better themselves every single day, and they are committed to creating a life of joy, peace, connection, unity, and just harmony and love. Just people that are committed to on that path. And it really, having people that are on a similar path as me, it makes it feel not so alone. It doesn't make me feel alone. I think like being an entrepreneur in the beginning, it's very isolating. It's very like, oh my God, I'm all alone. Like, this is so hard. This is so difficult. And then when you realize, oh wow, I don't need to do this alone. You know, I don't need to do this alone. I get to be surrounded by people that actually lift me up and that support me. And I compare it to like, you can totally get to your vision and hit all your goals and create the life of your dreams alone. But it's kind of like taking a rowboat versus when you have support and community and just people by your side supporting you, it's like taking a jet plane, you know, to your destination. It just really accelerates the growth and the elevation and the learnings and just accelerates everything. And time is our greatest asset. You know, we don't get more time. Like time is fine. You know, it's time is our greatest asset. So it's like, if I can pay money and be a part of a mastermind or something, and I could get to my destination within a month or 2 months versus like getting there in a couple of years, I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And just like community too, even just going to like a silent disco, like, and being around people dancing, like it's just that connection, like just being connected to humans and just being connected. It just really, for me, it's everything.
Yeah. I would have to agree. I feel like that has been, after knowing what it's like to feel so isolated over the last, the last 18 months, to feel the connection of being like with your tribe.
Yeah.
I feel like that's been really, really on my mind. Theo, you look like you want to say something about that as well.
Well, I was going to say, like, it really does establish a safe space for people to rekindle their sense of self-trust.
Mm.
Right. And that's so important in life. It's not even about business. It's about life, relationships, your health. Is when I say I'm going to do something, how can I take the physical action to demonstrate that this is truly aligned? Right. And for me, that's what creates true confidence. And without the fear, right? The fear of investing into yourself, the fear of taking a risk on love, the fear of leaping into the unknown, putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation, then there would be no such thing as courage. There'd be no such thing as you seeing yourself as totally capable of changing, of transforming. And just kind of tying back to your other point, as you said about like takers, right? It's like, I used to be a taker too, right? Like I used to be a little klepto as a kid, like take stuff from the store and be like, mom, wait, I didn't know we had to pay for this, right? But essentially, right, it all comes back to the simple truth. You've got, you have love or fear. And people who are takers, it's not their fault. Actually, at the very deepest core is their programming says that, like, I was cheated of love. I was cheated of a loving family. And now I need a take because I feel like I've been cheated, right? So it's like they're on their own journey. And if that's not aligned with our journey, not that I'm trying to create separation here in this conversation, I'm just mm-hmm. saying life is short. And it's not that we're to these judgers, like, oh, they're like, you know, that they're not making enough money. If you want to play that game, from my experience, you'll find a lot of shallow relationships. If that's all you care about is only spending time with successful people, right?
Mm-hmm.
It creates inauthenticity across the board, right? So it's like letting go of that, but also seeing that, like, you know, your time is precious. And once you see your time is more important than your money, then you totally see the truth about life. You totally value that sunset that you get to watch with your best friends. That's freaking worth millions of dollars. You totally get to go on that excursion up the freaking coast of Honolulu and be like, I did that. And that was not any monetary gain for me. That was an unforgettable, epic memory that I will never forget for the rest of my life. I met this amazing person named Nikki, and she's this lifelong relationship that I love forever. And, you know, so it's like about those abundant experiences. And this is what we want other people to experience, like the visceral, like God can't experience eating a delicious cheeseburger. God can't experience, you know, making love in the physical, right? Like we get to experience and enjoy this short time that we have here, right? As infinite spirits having this temporary existence here.
And I think too, during COVID, people really became disconnected, like you were saying. And we've been doing leadership training. It's called Ascension Leadership Academy. It's been so life-changing and transformative. And we've had to, some weekends during the event, we had to go out in Austin and actually talk to people and really connect with them. And so many people They would put their head down, not, or they look at us, look back down at the ground. They'd put their headphones in. And some people were like, you could feel that they were craving that connection. Mm-hmm. So it was a very interesting experience for us to be out and about in Austin, Texas, just sharing our mission and sharing our truth and just spreading joy, love, connection, peace. And what was the fourth one? Abundance.
Freedom.
Freedom.
That's so
freedom.
Yes. And that's what's so cool is that these words that we like create our intentions with, it becomes part of our consciousness. And so like when I look at you, like I see like freedom, I see like love, and I see like, it's not that I see it. It's almost like I feel it. It's like a resonance. Like, have you ever met someone you're like, I don't know why I like you, but I fucking like you, right?
that's
dope.
And that's exactly why I asked you guys to come on my podcast. I was like, I don't know what it is, but we're doing it.
Vibe attracts your tribe. Yes, your vibe attracts your tribe.
The dope is vibe. The vibe attracts your tribe. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, totally.
And people are interesting. Like, I realized this when I did door-to-door sales for almost 2 years. Like, I've talked to hundreds, if not thousands, of people at their doors. And like, if you actually like give people the chance and actually like instead of having all these conversations be surface level, like actually like be a permission slip of mask removal, like be the permission slip for people to remove their masks and just be themselves and be like, you know, those people you meet and it just feels easy. It's like so easy and effortless and just like, it just flows. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you create more of that in your relationships and in your conversations with everyone? Like this for people to remove their masks.
Being genuinely curious, you know, like that's something I learned. You know, if you're genuine, I think because so often people are like, I mean, I've been there where it's like, you know, you're waiting for your turn to share and to talk and to, but like when you're actually, which is actually kind of funny because that's a place that I will go to. It's like a socially awkward thing. If I get nervous, if I feel like I'm in a room of people that are a little more like stiff and uptight, I will be that person that overshares. And I'm like, why did that just come out of my mouth? Because I get so nervous that and uncomfortable that I'm just like blah 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 blah. and then I'm afterwards like, ugh, like, why did I say that? Anyways, but I definitely find that if you're genuinely curious, and everybody has a story and has multiple stories, and you get them talking, like, people will share things and you can tell it's like, wow, like maybe they've never ever shared this story ever before. Cause you ask them the right questions because you're curious and because it's coming from a genuine place, people feel more comfortable to share things. My partner is like, how did this conversation come up? I'm like, yeah, you know, like house cleaner like told me, you know, this and this. He's like, how did that even come up? And I'm like, people tell me things because I'm genuinely curious.
To be interested rather than interesting. Like, to be more interested.
Absolutely. So I guess I can't believe our time is already like coming to a close here. I want to ask, I did want to circle back to your NDE that you had, because it's interesting, not just because I watched season 2 or part 2 of the OA. Have you guys seen that on Netflix? The OA?
I haven't.
Oh my gosh, you have to. Well, you don't have to, but I highly recommend. It's a little slow, like it's a slow burn the first season, first 4 episodes, and then it gets really good. And then part 2 is definitely really good. And it's all about NDEs and anyways. And then literally last night, we were watching this show called The Afterlife, I think another one on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard about, someone referred that to me, recommended on Netflix.
Yeah. And this is what they were saying. Some of the people in the show is just how life-changing it is. And like, once you've had that experience, you never look at life the same afterwards. So yeah. I wanted to ask you, for you having that experience, and you can share as much as you want or as little, but what was your takeaway from that experience, and how could you apply it in a way that would be a message for like others who have not had that experience about life? And
yeah, I think for me, like I used to be, I'm a rebel as well. Rebels unite. Yeah. And I used to be honestly really reckless. Like I used to be just like reckless, very irresponsible. And I didn't realize like how me like being that way was actually very selfish, that it was like, oh, whatever happens to me, I wasn't thinking about the people in my life. Like I wouldn't be riding on a motorbike in Thailand after drinking a bucket full of alcohol if I had, you know, children or if I was married, you know. It's like, but I didn't realize like how many people in my life that my experience impacted, especially my mom and dad. My mom and dad were really, really hurt. And in that moment, I it was a major shift. It was like, wow, my parents like love me to death. My mom had said to me, she like, Nikki, if something had happened to you, I don't know like how I could go on without you. Like, I don't know what would happen to me. And she was just like, you're my everything, you're my world, you're my sunshine. And that experience, you know, if I wasn't with someone, I was with someone and he came back to me, I was unconscious. And I came to in the hospital with like lights in my face and no one in the hospital spoke English. And I had, you know, I was burned all over my body and I had a concussion. And that whole week was really, really rough. Like really, really rough. And just that experience, I just learned that, you know, cause I was about to go back into teaching, you know, I was about to like dive into like my career and kind of do everything that my parents wanted me to do, what society said to do, you know, go to college, get a job, buy a home, marry, have kids, like the whole thing. And my sisters, I have three sisters and they kind of went down that path. And after my near-death experience, I was like, when my buddy reached out to me to do door-to-door sales in California, which was like totally not my thing, I was like, we get one life. Like I can always go back to teaching if this doesn't work out. So it really shifted my mindset around like, if you are thinking, if something comes into your heart, like if something like an idea or something, it was dropped into you for a reason. It came to you for a reason. So it's like, in life, we only regret the chances or the things we didn't do. We never regret the things we did do, even if it was a failure, you know, or even if it didn't turn out how we expected. We still would be, at least in my experience, I've always been very happy that I took the chance and I learned from it and I grew and I was able to pivot. And now I see how everything has been just a beautiful canvas, like everything, it's like a beautiful puzzle. Like everything now I can see how all the puzzle pieces have come together. And just to trust that when you take a chance and when you just go for it, like what's the worst that could happen? And you know, it's normal to have fears come up and to just like write it, journal it down and just like be like, okay, and then what? And then what? Like what's the worst that could happen? You know, and just for me, the near-death experience just really, now I've really been living, I'm 27 and I've done so much. I've been to like close to 20 countries. I've traveled the world. I've owned multiple companies. I'm a coach and I just live life to the fullest. You know, I go to concerts. I do a lot. And I also want to, I just want to be happy, you know, like I am happy. I am so happy. And just realizing from that experience that it's not about the things we do and accomplish. It's really, are we really enjoying the process? Are we really like, who are we being when we're doing the doing? Like, cause I could totally be traveling the world, and this has happened to me, traveling the world or like owning a company of making money and not being happy while I'm doing that. So really that experience taught me to really be intentional with how am I showing up? How am I being while I'm doing the doing? Mm-hmm. And am I really like squeezing the juice and really enjoying every aspect of this human experience?
Mm, that's beautiful. Living mm-hmm. life to the fullest and enjoying every moment.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you yeah. for sharing that.
Yes, I've heard this story. It's powerful, powerful. Mm-hmm. Also, I didn't get cut up a lot. However, I did have an accident in Miami. It was just, I think it was 2016. And it was like sideswipe. So you know how you turn left and there's a green arrow? Mm-hmm. So the people across from you can't cross. And it's just a left turn across the intersection. Mm-hmm. So I took a left turn. This guy just like kept going. Like he was just bulldozing down the right lane. And it was like, pew! And I got smacked. It was like, I did like a 360 in my car. Mm-hmm. It was crazy because I saw the light, and it's all, you know how like they talk about the light, the white light that comes into your eyesight and then everything goes whoosh. It's like that very same experience. I actually think looking back on it was just literally his headlight. But I spin around and I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. I was like, okay, this is definitely it. Oh my God, this is it. And I wake up, I'm like, nothing. Like I had a scratch on down my arm, and I got out of the smoking car. I was like, totally just discombobulated, and everyone was just like looking at me, staring at me, obviously. Mm. And so I simply, like, I remember texting every single person I could find in my cell phone. I just said, I love you. Nothing else. I know that sounds really weird, but honestly, that was really what I truly understood. It's like, I had the opportunity to meet certain people in my life. And at the end of the day, that's really all that mattered. Actually, that was a huge lesson for me. And I also realized that death is so, like, we don't know when that next, you know, that's going to happen. And death doesn't have to be this scary demonized thing that I know a lot of Christianity, a lot of Catholicism, like, creates this scary narrative around what death is. But from all the people who I've ever met, they've gone through even deeper near death experiences where they've actually like gone unconscious, right? And they learned through that experience that death is a beautiful ceremony. It's a beautiful passing on to the next existence. And so that drives a lot of success in my life, because it's not mantra, it's everything success, is because it's letting go of the fear of leaving, right? I many people that I talk to, myself included, we're not afraid of like death. That is still a visceral physical fear, which is healthy. But it's more about like, did we get to really serve at the highest level? Did we truly get to impact in the ways that we promised ourselves growing up or in our new life of entrepreneurship? So yeah, just for me, it was really just about letting go of the fear of leaving this earth, and really just letting that be, just being okay with it, accepting it, that you know, today is all we have.
And when you accept that we're gonna die, it makes the little things, like, you ask yourself, like, will this thing matter when I'm on my deathbed, you know, when I'm yelling at Theo for not taking out the laundry from the dryer in time so it's all wrinkly? It's like, this shit won't matter when I'm on my deathbed. Like, having to remind ourselves that little things don't really matter.
I laugh when you say the laundry thing. My partner does this thing where he'll leave it in the dryer, and then he'll move it to the couch, hit the stuff to the couch, and then he'll move it to the bed, and then he'll move it back to the dryer. And about a week ago, I was like, is there a way that we could like reduce the musical laundry? Like, how about you get to move it one, maybe two times, and then that's it? And he was like, I think that's reasonable. Because in the past, I'd be like, Yeah, put your laundry away. But it's like so funny to hear other partners. These are like the domestic things that we all can get consumed by in the moment. You might feel agitated about something else, and then it's the laundry being wrinkled or whatever. And we actually have this little practice sometimes where we will say, you know, like, you never know. Like, you should always tell your partner you love them when they leave. Take the time to kiss them, say goodbye, because we've both, you know, experienced a lot of death in our life, and that's what it has taught us, is that you don't actually know when your time or your partner or the people in your life, when you'll never see them again. And so if we kind of meditate on that in a way where we act as if each moment, like you're saying, is so precious, and reminding ourselves that we don't know when that's going to be for any of us, it does put a very different value on your life experience and the relationship you have with others.
Yeah. And actually, in the past with my parents, you know, my parents aren't spiritual. I live a very different life than they do. And in the past, like, my dad, he'll come downstairs, he'll make a coffee, take out the newspaper and put on the news, which in the past I used to be totally against. I'm like, that shit is toxic. It's brainwashing you. But now I'm like, you know, he really enjoys this. So why not now, when I go home or we're on vacation, I'll grab a coffee and I'll sit next to him and I'll just like sit there, and maybe I'm not like absorbing the news, but just me being there next to him, he appreciates that, instead of me preaching, telling him how horrible the news is, you know, just like living a day in the life of my dad, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, like the whole concept of time, it's like, we're so good at sizing people up when we meet them. And to go deeper into any relationship is for me literally seeing every human as this infinite unexplored world where they have so many intricacies, so many stories and complexities. And it's really just, like you said, it's like, I think that was really the theme of this whole podcast, was like the power of genuine curiosity, like really caring enough.
Ooh, I'm going to call it that. The power of genuine curiosity. I'm writing it down right now.
Yeah, so it's like, because our mind wants to make our lives easier by saving our mind's energy by like placing people in different buckets of like, oh, that's that type of person, that's this type of person. It's like, but then we start to take others for granted. What we can do is we can say, hey, listen, like, what would it be like if I were to pretend like I just met my partner? Like, I just, right? Because it's like having that freshness, having that excitement, having that new experience. It's like, people don't want new people in their lives. It's not like they're getting bored. It's like, they just want new experiences, and we can orchestrate different identities and have fun and play costume and play role play, whatever. It's like, do whatever you want to do. You can even do this in business, right? Like, you can have your alter ego. Like, Beyonce has Sasha Fierce, and when she puts Sasha Fierce on, she's like this infinite, powerful, feminine, embodied, expressive woman. When she comes off the stage, she gets to go back to life where she can be soft and vulnerable in a normal freaking person, right? With like real insecurities that she does have. It's just that she's chosen this certain archetype so that she can maximize the results in her life, but really not the results, but the fulfillment, right, of that experience.
I love it. Ah, I got to wrap this up, guys, but we're definitely calling it the power of curiosity.
Yeah.
So damn. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for sharing. This has been so fun. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Shanti Ma podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Have a wonderful day, and remember, you are powerful. I love you. Until next time.
Oh, yeah.